I'm Mike Breen, Public Awareness Officer for the American Mathematical Society, and I'm talking with Anna Nagurny, who is the Director of the Virtual Center for Super Networks at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. And we're talking about, she's an expert on the supply chains. That's what she does her research on, trying to make them more efficient. And nowadays, whether it's masks, tests, or ventilators, the supply chain to the general public doesn't seem to be working too well. Anna, do you have any ideas on how we could make getting supplies more efficient, how math could help?
Yes, thank you very much, Mike. I think math has a huge role to play now during these very, very challenging times. What we have to remember is that supply chains are actually networks. So they consist of all sorts of different economic activities. We have to worry about the production. We have to worry about the transportation, the storage, and the ultimate distribution to consumers, to retailers, and so on. So what we're being faced with now is all sorts of disruptions in the supply chains. For example, in the case of many products, okay, we don't have the steady state demand anymore. The demand is really fluctuating. So many people are now working from home, about 75% of the population in the U.S. working from home. So that would mean that you'd have to change all these different supply routes, re-optimize the transportation. At the same time, many people are getting ill. That affects a very critical resource, the human resource, when it comes to manufacturing, when it comes to the freight deliveries, and even to the grocery store workers. So some supply chains are more national. In the case of many critical products today that we need desperately in terms of the facial masks, the ventilators, you know, the PPEs and so forth, as well as the medicines, they are global supply chains. And this is a pandemic. It's had a global impact. So many of the production sites are disrupted around the world. So you can see these cases of propagating failure. However, I am very hopeful that through good leadership, through better analysis of the demand, the capacities of various links and so forth, that given time, we will be able to reallocate the resources in a more optimal fashion given this pandemic. It's very, very challenging, but you know, it really helps to visualize these critical supply chains, you know, the food, the pharmaceuticals, and so on, as networks. And you can kind of envision, okay, what if a node goes down? What if a link goes down? What if the capacity isn't sufficient? You can see that the flows will have to be changed. We might not be able to have as much of a certain product until we start enhancing our capacities, until people start getting back to work, starting to get healthier, and so on. So that just gives you like a high-level picture, okay? But these supply chains can be quite complex. For example, in ventilators, there are thousands of parts, and they are sourced from different countries around the world. So you have to get all these parts to a certain location in order to assemble them correctly. So we are seeing now major automobile companies totally shifting from car manufacture to, for example, ventilator manufacture. Now, the new normal is just fascinating from a mathematics perspective, but also very, very challenging. But what I find personally very gratifying is that when you listen to the news, much of the news reporting is being based on science, and you'll be seeing terms that we often use in mathematics and operations research over and over again. We're hearing about optimizing resource allocation. We're talking even about uncertainty quantification. That to me is extremely gratifying. I think science, mathematics are absolutely essential today. And in sharing information.
You mentioned networks a few times. That makes sense. That's a very good description. It helps us picture it. Ideally, I guess you'd like a network that was very robust or a lot of redundant paths in the perfect world.
Exactly. And some of the supply chains, they were designed just to focus on like just-in-time deliveries, with not sufficient suppliers, not alternative routes, not enough storage facilities, and so forth. That's not the way to go, to have resilient supply chains. And we learned that from disaster management. I teach a course at UMass on humanitarian logistics and healthcare. So we talk about robust supply chains. We talk about resilient supply chains. And there you really have to consider all sorts of different scenarios that might occur. And associated with the scenarios are probabilities. And you should plan accordingly. So that's really, really important now. And some companies are better at doing that and others are not.
You mentioned the news as well, and there are a lot of things going on right now. And one thing we don't hear much about, but which you know a lot about, is the blood supply. Can you tell us about the blood supply chain or network and what problems there are and any solutions you might have?
Yes, thank you so much for bringing up this critical supply chain in healthcare, along with several of my doctoral students who are now professors, some of them. We've been doing work on blood supply chains for almost the past decade. Blood is a very unusual product. It's a product that cannot be manufactured, but it must be donated, and it has to be donated altruistically. Moreover, blood has to be tested. It's something you don't get paid for. At the same time, blood is critical for many different kinds of surgeries, for chemotherapy, for those suffering from sickle cell anemia, and so on. So blood supply chains are a very complicated kind of supply chain network, and the industry has actually been impacted over the past couple of years because there's actually been more competition, which a lot of people don't know about, and so on. Also, like the American Red Cross has closed several testing facilities. They've shut down donation sites, which is not really good in this scenario. So again, it's like, a whole redesign of the network to make it less robust when you really need more robustness in the supply chain network. So what we've been doing is writing a lot of op-eds and articles along with our research to address the potential impacts, and it's actually happening now, of COVID-19 on this critical healthcare supply chain. Look at what happens if the testers cannot do the testing. What about those that actually help at that donation sites are not available to work? Also, donors themselves, there's like a 28-day period. You cannot be ill when you donate blood. Okay, so this is causing major disruptions. What I've been arguing is that these blood service organizations, they have to make the donor experience better. They have to be doing more cleaning, wearing the mask, and actually it's making a difference. And I'm really, really happy because I'm getting a lot of emails from donors and so forth. The writing in terms of policy is having an impact. Furthermore, I truly believe that as time goes along, blood will be one of the salvations actually for us, because with plasma of survivors, and actually some are saying even now red blood cells, in terms of transfusions, it might be working as a medical treatment for victims of COVID-19. And Johns Hopkins is doing research on this, and there's even been a call for donors who have survived actually COVID-19 to donate their blood and their plasma. And I find that very, very gratifying.
That is interesting, yes. And now here's, you might say, a much more trivial thing, but I'm dying to ask, and probably people want to know as well, what's going on with toilet paper?
Honestly, I think that's been, one of the most challenging and fascinating aspects. And it's global. I'm hearing from former students who are professors now in Sydney, Australia, people hoarding toilet paper, Italy, you name it, it's happening globally. Now, we've done a lot of work in terms of differentiated product supply chains, and also in terms of, competition in terms of quality and how do you model product quality over space and time, which is very, very cool. So when it comes to toilet paper, a lot of people maybe don't realize, but when you think about it, you will realize it. Commercial toilet paper typically is not as high quality as the kind that you would purchase for your home consumption. oftentimes they're actually manufactured at different production sites. And typically, like the kind of toilet paper you will see in an airport, maybe in, you know, your organization's offices and so forth, installations, it'll be made from recycled paper as opposed from virgin pulp. Okay, so it's a different quality, usually different production sites, and also the packaging is entirely different. Typically, you know, these supply chain networks are really optimized, assuming we have a steady state demand, and that's usually typical. But now so many people are working from home, they can't access the toilet paper in the offices, you know, they're not supposed to, we're practicing social distancing and so forth. So there's a huge increase in demand for home-based toilet paper as opposed to commercial toilet paper. Those two have completely different distribution channels. So now companies have to work on different kinds of contracts, figure out different freight transportation routes. See, this is all math. It's all networking, but it's going to take time until the companies can gear up for this new kind of reallocation scenario, which is very, very different than they've been handling for years and years. And they've been optimizing, you know, the steady state demand, but it's not steady state anymore. It's completely, completely changed. Does that help, maybe?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, that's interesting. And what you're saying makes sense. So, Anna, is there anything we didn't touch on that you'd like to talk about? Anything you'd like to add?
I think that our work in mathematics and optimization and networking and game theory has never been more valuable, never been more important. And I'm so honored and humbled to be proud to be part of this fantastic community. I know it's hard for us. We're dealing, you know, with all sorts of constraints, but I think, you know, whatever we can do to get our work out there, to have it publicized and recognized, we can truly make a difference as we battle this pandemic and get through it together. Thank you.
Well, you're welcome. Thank you, Anna. That's Anna Nagurny, who is the director of the Virtual Center for Super Networks at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Anna, thanks very much, and good luck with everything.
You're very welcome, and best to everyone, and do take care.